Chapter 2. Train laid out his cards on the polished dining room table for the boys seated around him to see.
Full house. Jacks over threes.
Jeff threw his own paltry cards down in disgust. Take it, you big ox. Train stuck an unlit cigar between his lips and dragged a pile of money his way.
Pleasure doing business with you.
A doorbell chimed above the rock music playing in the adjacent living room. Whatever. Go answer your door. Leave your cash behind. Train rose and pointed a finger at his fellow poker players.
Touch my money and die,
he said with a toothy grin. The burly boy bounded across the living room through a crowd of dancing partiers before descending a flight of stairs to the front door. He opened the door to reveal two teenage girls, one with brown shoulder-length hair, the other sporting a short blonde crop. The sunshine made him squint as he popped the storm door open and stuck his head outside.
Hi. Who are you?
I'm Cindy,
the brunette replied.
I'm looking for a guy named Jeff.
Train scratched his cheek.
I know a guy named Jeff. I'm not sure he's expecting any strangers, though.
She touched his hand upon the door handle.
Oh, I'm not a stranger. He asked me to come by today.
Train froze for a moment from her physical contact.
Hold on a minute,
he finally said before turning upstairs.
Jeff, you got visitors.
Jeff stepped to the railing a moment later, his poker exasperation melting away at the sight of two pretty girls gazing up at him. Well, don't just stand there, let him in. Train held the storm door open. Cindy entered first and held the door open for her friend.
This is Shannon. She's my ride. I hope that's okay.
Train shook Shannon's hand.
I'm Lionel. Pleased to meet you.
We call him Train, Jeff added. Shannon frowned at Train and laughed.
Who named you that?
I did, Jeff said proudly.
Lionel the Train.
Cindy rolled her eyes as she started up the stairs.
Hope you didn't hurt yourself coming up with that.
Jeff laughed. It's one of my better ones. Shannon followed Cindy upstairs and promptly waved to a girl across the living room.
My cousin Linda is here,
she gushed.
I'll catch up with you in a little while.
Train watched her mingle through the crowd for a moment before shrugging and following her. Cindy smiled and said,
Looks like Shannon found a new puppy.
Jeff smirked. Sorry he kept you waiting outside. I didn't tell him you were coming.
No worries. I wasn't sure of it myself, but here I am.
A door opened down the hallway to their right, and a muscular boy with rusty brown hair emerged from a bathroom, zipping his fly with one hand and clenching a plastic cup in the other.
Jeff!
He boomed over the din of the music. He extended an open hand before turning his attention to the girl at his side.
Who's this?
Jeff clasped his friend's hand. Cindy, this is Tommy Johnson. We call him TJ.
Tommy Johnson?
Cindy repeated, extending her hand to him. His friend spilled some beer from his cup as he shook her hand.
That's not why they call me TJ,
he said with a grin. Cindy turned to Jeff.
Then why do you call him that?
TJ slapped himself on the chest.
Because I am the jock!
Jeff forced a smile. He's gonna make the varsity basketball team as a junior.
Got that right, dude.
TJ grinned, clasping Jeff's hand again and spilling more beer on the carpet. Cindy turned to Jeff.
Do you play sports too?
Jeff shrugged. Nah, sports are for schmucks. She slapped him on the shoulder.
Hey, I play sports. I'm on the field hockey team.
TJ laughed.
Aren't you afraid of breaking a nail?
He stumbled off toward the kitchen without waiting for an answer. Cindy stood with her mouth agape as she watched him stagger away.
He's more like the jerk than the jock.
Jeff put an arm around her and led her toward the kitchen. He's cool. That's just the beer talking. A shorter boy with straight black hair jostled through the crowd, carrying a frothy mug of beer in his hand.
Better hit the keg while the getting's good,
he said. We're getting there. Jeff grinned and pulled his friend closer. Cindy, this is my friend, Axel Fromm. Axel sipped the froth from his beer before offering his free hand to her.
It's really Alex, but everyone calls me Axel.
She shook his hand slowly and deliberately.
Ah, dyslexic, are you?
Jeff laughed. No, Axel is my personal mechanic. He takes care of my Camaro. Axel nodded enthusiastically.
It's a fine car.
Cindy turned to Jeff.
So what about you? What's your nickname?
I'm the leader, he said tersely. I don't need a nickname.
Jeff's the man with the plan,
Axel cut in.
He's the one we count on to keep us on top.
Cindy smiled.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
I can handle it. Jeff looped an arm around his friend's shoulder and turned him aside. Did you check out Crazy Leg's car yet? Axel grimaced.
Sure did. The oil pan plug was missing. The motor's fried.
Jeff's smile vanished, for the sabotage theory rang true. Where's Mick?
He was out back playing frisbee, but I haven't seen him for a while.
Well, if you see him, tell him I'm looking for him. Axel nodded and advanced into the crowd. Cindy pointed to the blue and white swirl on the back of his jacket.
His jacket looks like yours. Are you on the same team?
Jeff took her hand and led her forward. Yeah, something like that. They squeezed through a narrow path of people, through the open back door, onto a raised deck outside, where an October breeze cooled their flushed faces and spread the sumptuous aroma of food across the porch. To their left, a gas grill smoked with roasting burgers and hot dogs, while closer to the porch stairs, a silver keg filled the cups of a small gathering of boys. Hungry? My man Denny's on the grill.
Denny? Like the restaurant? Is that why you call him that?
No, not like that at all. That would be totally lame. Jeff stepped up to a folding table beside the grill, close enough for the cook to hear. His name is Dennis LaRue. He likes sketching with charcoal and cooking with spices. He refuses to shave off that cheesy mustache, and sometimes he spells his name with one N when he's feeling overly chic, so I started calling him Denny. I had to do something. The senior class was ready to vote him most likely to wear a beret. Cindy held up a finger.
Or bake a souffle?
Denny turned to face them with a bead of perspiration glistening on his fuzzy upper lip.
Ha ha. Funny. What do you need, Jeff?
Give me a cheeseburger. You want something, Cindy?
I'll take a hot dog,
she said, stepping out from behind him. Denny looked her up and down.
She's with you?
Jeff nodded. This is...
Yeah, I know who she is.
Denny snatched a hot dog off the grill and slapped it into an untoasted roll before shoving it at her.
Here.
Thanks.
She took the hot dog from him and shrank by Jeff's side. Jeff took his cheeseburger from Denny and led Cindy away to a nearby condiment table, frowning in bewilderment at his friend's rude behavior. He squirted a dollop of ketchup onto his burger and handed the bottle to Cindy. Sorry, I don't know what his problem is. Cindy lined a thin stream of ketchup down the center of her hot dog.
He's in my English class. I didn't know he felt that way about me.
Why would he? She shrugged.
You'll find out soon enough.
Jeff glared back at Denny. Oh, I'm gonna find out all right.
Just let it go.
She bit into her hot dog and wandered to the opposite side of the porch. Jeff grabbed the crown of his hamburger bun from the table and whirled about to follow her. Instead, he crashed into a lanky, freckled boy in a hurricane jacket staggering toward the keg near the edge of the deck. Jeff reeled back from the impact and regained his balance, only to see his cheeseburger lying on the porch deck. You dingus! Keep away from this guy, Cindy. He's a walking catastrophe.
Sorry, Jeff. You were standing on the runway.
The boy held his plastic cup under the flowing beer spigot while offering his free hand to Cindy.
I'm Johnny Bumbry.
We call him Bumbles, Jeff added. She leaned forward and shook his hand the best that she could in his awkward position.
I'm Cindy.
Jeff scooped up his fallen burger from the deck and inspected it with a frown before tossing it over the porch railing. He looked back toward the grill, now surrounded by a group of hungry guests, following Cindy instead as she drifted toward the porch railing. She leaned over the railing and slowly chewed her hot dog with her back toward him. What's the matter? Why so sad? She shrugged.
I figured you'd know by now.
Know what? What am I supposed to know? Bumbles followed them to the railing with his fresh cup of beer. He wiped his chin after a long swig.
Is this the new girlfriend everyone's talking about?
Jeff cringed. Isn't there something you need to go trip over? Cindy cut in.
I'll be right back. I need to use the bathroom.
Jeff watched in silence as she entered the house, dumbfounded by the sudden chill in her mood. He turned to the last person to see her smiling. Hey, Denny! What's your problem? Denny handed the tongs to a bystander before sidling up to him.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, her name's Cindy, and she's with me. You got a problem with that?
Her name's Cindy, all right. Cindy Wellis, you know, as in Police Chief Wellis. As in, vote for me and I'll clean up this town. That Chief Wellis.
That's his daughter?
Bumbles gasped. Denny patted Jeff on the shoulder.
Sorry, dude, but I figured you ought to know.
Jeff mulled the news for a moment before turning back to the porch railing. So what?
So what? Are you crazy?
Denny stepped closer.
We don't even have all the stuff out of here yet. What if she starts snooping around? What if she snitches that Train's got a keg here? My brother's ass is on the line for that keg.
Jeff slammed his fist on the porch railing. She ain't gonna snoop and she ain't gonna snitch. She's with me and that's that. Got it?
Okay, fine.
Denny started back toward the grill.
I'm just saying, Mick's gonna go rip shit when he finds out.
Mick ain't running the damn gang, Jeff fended off an eavesdropper with a scowl. Where the hell is he anyway? Bumble shrugged.
I don't know. I haven't seen him for a half an hour.
Find him. Tell him I want to see him. Now.
You got it, Jeff.
Bumbles left the porch for the backyard while Jeff stepped up to the keg and filled two plastic cups with beer. When he turned about, he saw that Cindy had returned to the porch, so he walked over to her as quickly as he could without spilling from the cups. Beer? He asked. She smiled and took a cup from him.
So, did your friends tell you who I am?
Jeff nodded, sipping slowly from his own cup.
I'll leave if you want me to. I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Jeff set his cup on the porch rail as he mulled his answer. Last night, you told me you knew who I am.
I sure do. You're that no-good, rotten gang leader, Jeff Hollister. My father calls you public enemy number one.
She took another sip of beer and swallowed slowly.
My first day at Salisbury High, someone pointed you out and told me to watch out for you.
Yeah? So why didn't you?
Because I don't like having other people tell me who I should talk to and who I shouldn't. I like to make up my own mind about people.
Jeff took another sip from his cup. So how do I know you're not spying on me for your father? He asked. She looked him straight in the eyes.
Honestly, Jeff, if my father knew I was here with you right now, he'd probably disown me.
He scanned her face for a telltale flinch. I'm not sure I should believe you. She shrugged.
That's your choice. But I was willing to give you a fair chance, even after all I'd heard about you. At least you could give me the same chance.
He hesitated until the silence felt awkward. Fair enough, he finally said. Tell you what, how about just for today, I just be Jeff and you just be Cindy? All that other stuff can wait until tomorrow.
That sounds really good, Jeff.
She slipped her arm around his waist, inadvertently knocking his cup off the railing, and together they watched it splash onto the lawn below.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just not your day. Here, take mine.
Jeff gazed down at his beer cup lying on the ground below. Then he spotted a boy with wire-rimmed glasses crossing the backyard toward the house. Hey, Brain!
I knew him. That's Brian Murray. He's in my calculus class.
Yeah, he's a total egghead. We call him...
Brain...
Cindy groaned. Brain peered up from the lawn.
Hey, Jeff, where you been?
Playing poker. You seen Mick or Crazy Legs?
Have I? Oh, man.
Brain stepped closer to the porch and lowered his voice.
We were tossing the football around out back, and we started getting pelted by BBs. You know what that means. Mick and Crazy Legs flushed two guys out of the bushes and chased after them. I lost them, so I came back here.
Any idea who they were?
Yeah, tornadoes.
Jeff frowned. If you find Mick, tell him to come see me.
Gotcha,
Brain said before running off. Cindy straightened up.
Who are the Tornadoes?
They're the other team. Jeff turned toward the grill and signaled for Denny to join him. Denny handed the tongs off to a friend and slid up beside his leader.
What's up?
We got a tornado sighting. Tell Bumbles and TJ to be on the lookout.
You got it.
Denny scurried off down the porch stairs. Cindy stepped up and rested a hand on his shoulder.
Something wrong?
No, everything's fine. Jeff took a plastic cup from a nearby stack and stuck it under the spigot of the keg before pulling the tap down. A part of him wanted to run off and join in the action, but he knew Cindy would probably leave if he did, and normally he wouldn't care. Gang matters always took precedence over social activities, even if it meant breaking off a date, because there would always be another girl. Cindy felt different, though. Different from any girl he had ever dated before. As his cup filled with beer, he admired how the sunlight glistened off her golden brown hair and how her thin lips curled in a smile with her cavernous brown eyes gazing back with affection.
You're spilling.
He rushed to shut off the tap as cold beer ran across the back of his hand. Guess I spaced out for a second. She winked.
I have that effect on people sometimes.
He sipped an inch from the top of his beer and wiped the foam from his lips. Come on, let's go back inside. I'm not hungry anymore. They walked back into the house and through the kitchen to find Shannon and Train huddled closely and chatting in a corner of the living room. Jeff took Cindy's hand and led her through the crowd, stopping beside his bodyguard and leaning close to his ear.
Something's up. You might want to head outside.
Don't leave.
Train told Shannon before bounding downstairs and out the front door. Shannon leaned closer to Cindy and gestured to the crowd dancing in the living room and partying throughout the house.
There must be 100 people here.
Cindy slipped an arm around Jeff's waist.
It's a great party. Thanks for inviting me.
Train and I were just dancing,
Shannon told her.
He's really a sweet guy.
Jeff laughed. Train was dancing? Wish I could have seen that. The beat of the music changed and Shannon gestured to the living room where the dancers were moving closer to their partners.
It's a slow song. You guys should dance.
Jeff shook his head. I don't think so.
What's the matter?
Shannon asked.
You got webbed feet.
Cindy placed her cup on a nearby table and took his hand.
Come on, I love this song.
All right. He set his cup beside hers and wrapped an arm around her waist, pulling her closer as they drifted into the center of the living room. She slid her hands up his back and clung to his sturdy shoulders, swaying in his grasp as he rocked her side to side to the beat of the music. He closed his eyes and nestled his face close to hers, letting the sweet perfume in her hair waft into his nostrils. Together they wandered to an open area by the picture window as she pressed her lips close to his ear.
Not bad for webbed feet,
she purred. Quack, quack. He closed his eyes and squeezed her closer. When he opened his eyes again, he looked out the picture window to see Crazy Legs running across the front yard toward Maple Street, chasing a boy in a maroon jacket with a brick in his hand. Jeff swayed to a halt as he recognized the tightly spun black locks and bushy eyebrows of Curly McClure, the Tornado Lieutenant, crossing the street for Train's front lawn. Behind him, a passing car cut off Crazy Legs' pursuit, and he shouted to Axel, who sprinted in from the adjacent lawn. But Curly eluded Axel's dive and continued across the front yard toward Train's house. He stopped and glared up at Jeff before cocking the brick behind his head and hurling it toward the picture window.
Look out! Jeff shouted.
He pulled Cindy to the floor as the brick crashed through the window, showering them with shards of glass as the other dancers ran screaming from the room. His body shielded her from most of the flying glass, but the brick itself landed on her left foot.
Ow! My toe!
Shards of glass trickled from his jacket as he sprang to his feet and rushed to the gaping hole in the picture window. The front lawn was now clear, although he could see some boys running toward the right side of the house. He turned about and asked her, Are you all right?
I think so,
she said, cautiously picking broken glass from her torso. Don't move. Stay here. He looked up at Shannon, standing a few feet away with her mouth agape. Help her! Shannon rushed forward and crouched beside Cindy while Jeff dashed out of the living room and down the stairs, bowling past curious guests on his way out the front door. He followed the commotion to the side of the house, where a circle of spectators stood around two boys wrestling on the ground. Stepping closer, Jeff saw that the boy in the superior position was Train, pinning a boy in a maroon jacket to the ground with all his weight and strength.
"You're gonna pay, you bastard!"
he yelled, pummeling his adversary with his fists. Jeff broke through the crowd. "Don't kill him! Not yet!" Train mashed his foe's goateed chin into the dirt.
"Easy for you to say. You don't have to pay for that window. I'm gonna get my money's worth right now."
"Let me talk to him first. Who is it?" Crazy Legs stepped forward from the crowd.
"It's Justin Jenkins."
"JJ?" Jeff glanced up to his lieutenant standing on the other side of the circle. "Curly threw the brick. Where is he?"
"Ah, he got away,"
Mick said in disgust. Jeff squatted to lift JJ's head by a fistful of hair. "Hey, scumbag, give Craig a message. The truce is over. We're gonna fight. The tornadoes will be done by next week." JJ gnashed his bloody teeth.
"You'll be dead before that, Hollister."
Train drove a fist into his ribs.
"Shut up. Who said you could talk?"
Jeff rose and patted Train on the shoulder. "He's all yours. Try not to kill him." The beating resumed as he stormed back toward the house with Mick and Crazy Legs buzzing behind him like horseflies.
"So we're good?"
Mick said.
"Open season on the tornadoes?"
"When's the fight?"
Crazy Legs asked. Jeff pondered. "How's Saturday night?"
"Kinda short notice,"
Crazy Legs said.
"Some of the guys might be rusty. You know, signals and whistles, stuff like that."
Jeff stopped. "You guys can handle that, can't you?"
"Sure, no problem,"
Mick answered quickly. "Good, do it." Jeff rounded the front corner of the house and spotted Cindy and Shannon waiting for him on the steps.
"Whoa, who's that?"
Crazy Legs asked. Mick caught his leader's scornful look and tugged on the skinny boy's sleeve.
"Come on, we got work to do,"
he said before they ran off together. Jeff hurried across the driveway to help Cindy hobble down the front steps as Shannon carried her friend's shoe from behind. "Do you want to go to the hospital?" he asked. Cindy shook her head.
"I'm okay. I don't think anything's broken. I'm going home to put some ice on it. Looks like the party's over anyway."
Jeff nodded. "I guess a brick through the window will do that." He watched the guests leaving the yard in droves. "Hey, I'm really sorry."
"It's not your fault. We were having a good time up until the end."
"It was a great party,"
Shannon said.
"Lots of people here."
He sighed. "Train's a popular guy."
"Can you tell him goodbye for me?"
she asked. "I will. He's a little busy right now." He turned to Cindy. "Sorry it ended like this."
"I'll be fine. You've got more important things to worry about."
Jeff shrugged. "Being public enemy number one isn't all it's cracked up to be."
"Yeah, but for a no-good, rotten gang leader, you're not so bad."
She leaned over and kissed him on the cheek.
"I'll find you at school tomorrow."
Jeff watched silently as she hobbled down the driveway with her friend's help. He felt angry that she had become a victim of his affairs, and wondered if she truly would see him again. When they were finally out of view, he turned about and marched back to the mob gathered around the side of the house as he stewed in his anger. Train might be getting his money's worth out of JJ, he thought, but Craig and Curly would soon pay dearly as well. Jeff cracked a door open, and a sliver of light cut into a pitch-black bedroom. "Ma, you awake?" A sigh of exasperation preceded the reply.
"What is it, Jeff?"
"Have you seen my keys?"
"You lost them again. What about your spares?"
"Those were my spares. I never found the other ones."
"That's too bad."
Jeff paused. "Can I use your car? It's raining and I'm almost late."
"I need it today. I'm getting my hair done. You'll just have to walk."
He hesitated again. "I need some money."
"I put some in the jar last night. Now let me sleep."
Jeff squeezed the door shut and retreated to the kitchen. He took a cookie jar from atop the refrigerator and removed a $20 bill inside before placing the jar on its perch again. Walking to school wasn't so bad, he mused as he stuffed the bill into his pocket, and the Camaro was probably better off staying in the garage in light of the alleged sabotage of Crazy Lake's car. Living close to the high school had certain advantages, like avoiding the indignation of riding the yellow bus. But as he bounded down the half-dozen steps to the foyer, he could see through the front window sheets of rain cascading along Spruce Street outside his house. He took his hurricane's jacket from a wall hook and donned it. Then he pulled on a gray backpack before opening the front door. He pulled a navy blue baseball cap tied upon his head, eyeing the rainwater pooling on the soggy lawn as he stepped out onto the front steps and shut the storm door behind him. 10 minutes later, he arrived at the schoolyard with backpack, jacket, hat, and hair all soaking wet. He cursed the advantages of walking to school, although he reserved a few mutterings of contempt for his mother as he shivered along the covered front walk of Salisbury High School. Inside, he found his reception equally chilling. The lone figure in an otherwise deserted hallway, a vice principal, Lloyd Stammer, impatiently tapping a shoe on the hard black tile with one hand buried in the pocket of his checkered brown blazer. The vice principal's face grew stern as he took a pink pad of paper from his jacket pocket.
You're late. You were late all last week, too.
Jeff shrugged. Well, I heard it was fashionable to be late, and you know how I like to keep up with the times. Stammer's nostrils flared as Jeff walked past.
Well, I wouldn't want you to miss out on the latest fad. Here.
He scribbled onto the pad before tearing off the top sheet and holding it out. What's this?
It's your official invitation to detention hall this afternoon.
Jeff snatched the slip of paper from Stammer's hand. You know what your problem is? You're too official. You should wear a whistle around your neck or something.
Come to my office and I'll give you a pass.
The vice principal sauntered down the shiny hallway to the office door, where he suddenly stopped and whirled about.
Where's that slip of paper I gave you?
Jeff glanced back to a crumpled wad of pink paper in the middle of the hallway. I officially threw it on the floor. Stammer yanked the office door open and grabbed his sleeve.
Come with me.
Jeff jerked his arm free. Let go. Keep your mildew to yourself.
Get in here, Hollister, or you're in big trouble.
Stammer stormed through the office between the desks of startled secretaries before disappearing into a back room, leaving the door ajar behind him. Jeff followed reluctantly. Stammer could be more than a thorn in his side if his ego was jolted enough. And the last thing the Hurricanes needed was a nosy vice principal, just when activity against the tornadoes was heating up. He traced Stammer's steps through the reception area as the secretaries pecked idly at their keyboards with their eyes following him. Once he entered the vice principal's office, he pushed the door shut and turned about to see Stammer reclining in his leather chair, a grin upon his face, and a large black Oxford shoe propped upon his desktop. Jeff eyed him suspiciously as he sat on the edge of a chair with his backpack still on. "What's so funny?" he finally asked.
"That was easy. I thought you'd be harder to corner than this."
"What are you talking about?"
"Let me lay it on the line, Jeff. Some kids in this school aren't angels, but with a little work, we can straighten them out. Then there are those who tend to have influence over these kids, the bad apples, so to speak."
Jeff removed his baseball cap and shook the excess water off it. He took out a comb and began to comb his wet hair back. "I thought you were going to lay it on the line. I still have no idea what you're talking about." Stammer dropped his foot off the desk and leveled a finger at him.
"I'm talking about you, Hollister. You and your hoodlum friends. You might think that you own this town, but I'm not going to let you take over the school. Understand?"
Jeff frowned. "Take over the school?" Stammer folded his hands across his chest.
"Coach Reynolds informed me that he caught Mick Landry and Lionel Armstrong beating on Phil Jennings in the boys' locker room at 7:30 this morning. That was the second such report I received today."
"So? I was eating my cornflakes at the time. What do you want from me?" Stammer leaned forward and narrowed his eyes.
"Here's the deal, Jeff. From this day forward, I'm holding you personally responsible for the actions of your, gang. Any more incidents on school property involving your cohorts will result in their immediate suspension, as well as your own, whether or not you're directly involved.
You can't threaten me like that, Jeff shot back. I'll go to the Board of Ed.
Feel free. I already have their, unofficial support.
Stammer's voice trailed off as he pondered his reply.
Let's just say that, with 8 months left until graduation, you'll be fighting an uphill battle.
Jeff slipped off his backpack and sank back into his seat. Something tells me you're not just upset about a locker room scuffle. The vice principal leaned back and nodded slowly.
Very perceptive, Jeff. As a matter of fact, I bumped into Chief Wellis yesterday. He told me he suspects your gang was involved in a housebreaking incident Saturday night.
So I've heard. I was at the movies with Mick.
Well, he's not convinced. There were several sets of footprints in the adjacent lot, but they were all destroyed by the rain. Still, they think at least 5 or 6 people were involved. Naturally, you're the most logical suspect to have committed the crime.
I'm flattered.
Well, you're probably safe unless they nab you with the goods.
Stammer leaned over the desk again.
But consider yourself warned, Jeff. The whole town is watching you. Sooner or later, you're going to screw up. And then it's bye-bye Hollister.
Jeff mulled over the vice principal's admonition. He stood up and slung his backpack over his shoulder before opening the door again. You sound pretty sure about everything. I guess the presumption of innocence ain't so fashionable anymore. Mr. Stammer glared back at him.
Don't forget what I told you about the suspension.
Jeff slammed the vice principal's door shut, causing the secretaries to jump in their seats. He stormed out of the main office and slammed that door too, rattling the glass office windows as he entered the hallway. He stopped at his locker a few hallways farther and dropped his backpack on the floor, his teeth still grinding from the conversation. He yanked open his locker door to toss his wet jacket and hat inside, all the while hoping he could catch Mick before the end of first period to tell him what had just happened. He zipped his backpack open and reached inside for a book, spotting the keys to his Camaro lying at the bottom of the bag with chagrin. With a sigh of disgust, he tossed the backpack into the locker and kicked the door shut, taking just 3 steps away before the shrill period bell resounded throughout the hallways. Muttering to himself, he stepped back to his locker and rummaged through the backpack again as students spilled from their classrooms into the hallway. As he pulled out another book, he felt an unexpected tap on his shoulder, prompting him to spin around with a clenched fist, ready to crack a knuckle across an unfriendly face. Cindy shied away.
Don't shoot!
Jeff shut the locker door again. Sorry, I'm a little strung out today.
No worries. I shouldn't have sneaked up on you like that.
He sighed. Yeah, I almost flattened you. You're the last person I expected to see. If I were you, I wouldn't even talk to me after what happened yesterday. She frowned at him.
Do you talk to yourself a lot?
No, I mean, well, you know what I mean. He finally smiled. So, how's your foot? She held it out and flexed the ankle.
It still works. Don't worry about it. I don't blame you for it.
Well, you gotta admit, it wasn't the best ending to a party.
I didn't like getting my toe squashed. It was fun being with you, though.
Really? Does that mean you'll go out with me again? She squeezed her books and flashed her eyes up at him.
No, dummy. It means I never want to see you again.
Awesome. How's Friday night? She thought for a moment.
Sounds good. Where are you going right now?
He stuck out his tongue and discussed physics. You?
Chemistry.
Want to walk with me?
Only if you'll carry my books.
She joked. He waved her off. Forget it. I'll go by myself. She smiled.
I'll still go with you. You'll probably just drool all over them anyway.
They started down the crowded hallway together with their books in hand, her stack noticeably larger than his. Jeff glanced over his shoulder to be sure no one was watching, Then he took the thickest book from her stack and added it to his own books. She smiled and nestled closer to him while he shifted the stack to the opposite hand. But as he reached for her waist with his free hand, he lost control of the books and they spilled into the center of the hallway. "I'm having a bad day." He knelt and gathered the books before they were trampled by the student body. As he rose to his feet, he saw Crazy Legs run up beside her.
"Jeff, you gotta come quick,"
his friend panted.
"Mick and Curly are gonna fight in D stairwell."
"So, Mick can handle himself?" Crazy Legs leaned closer and whispered.
"They've got knives, Jeff. You know how quick Curly is. There's gonna be trouble."
Jeff rolled his eyes in exasperation before handing all the books to Cindy. "I'll be right back," he promised her. He ran off before she could object, darting after Crazy Legs through every opening of students swarming the hallways. They squeezed against the corridor wall and jostled classmates from their path until finally Crazy Legs shoved open the door of an outlying stairwell. He rushed halfway down the first flight of stairs, but Jeff entered the stairwell more cautiously, spotting the familiar faces of Hurricanes and Tornadoes, drawn apart like filings on a magnet. In the center stood the lieutenant of each gang, facing off on the mid-level platform of the stairwell with knives in hand. The advantage lay clearly with their adversary as six Tornadoes crammed behind Curly on the landing, with only Axel, Denny, and Bumbles backing Mick. Jeff brushed past Crazy Legs to the last stair above the platform. He grappled the end of the railing and leaned close to his lieutenant's ear. "Mick, what the hell are you doing?" Mick tightened his grip on the knife without losing sight of Curly.
"Stand back, Jeff. I'm gonna erase this sorry son of a bitch."
"Not here. Wait till Saturday." Curly slackened his posture and glared impatiently at Jeff.
"Come on, Hollister. Kiss your pal goodbye and let me finish him off. I'll do you next."
"Don't be an idiot. Where's Craig?" Jeff hopped to the platform beside Mick and spotted the tornado leader lurking over his lieutenant's shoulder. "School's off limits, Matthews."
"Of course it is,"
Craig said cheekily.
"But your boy started it."
Mick nudged Jeff's ribs.
"Stand back, I'll run them both through."
The tornado's sudden aggression puzzled Jeff. He kept Curly in the corner of his eye as he inched his lips close to his friend's ear.
"Put the knife away, now."
"No way. I'm gonna kill him. Stay back."
Jeff gritted his teeth and pressed his chest against his lieutenant's arm. "I said now." Mick shot a glance at Jeff before quickly returning his line of sight to the knife in Curly's hand. Finally, he said,
"I will if he will."
Jeff turned to face Curly, still 4 feet away. "How about it, buddy? Wanna put it away?"
"I ain't your buddy, Hollister. You'll be dead real soon."
"We'll see." Curly stepped forward threateningly.
"Come on, Hollister. Fight me now, you chicken."
Jeff recoiled, the exchange with Stammer still fresh in his mind. As much as he hated high school, suspension wasn't on his agenda. "You wouldn't get it if I told you." He nudged an elbow into Mick's ribs as he sensed Curly's hand tightening on the black handle of the switchblade knife. Mick grunted in reply, ready to lunge at their enemy if his leader suddenly dove out of the way. Standing between two adversaries with both wielding deadly weapons, Jeff still felt in control, confident that his lieutenant would defend him with more speed and precision than any other Hurricane. Upstairs, the stairwell doors crashed open, and Train rushed to the railing, his face red and sweaty.
"The SRO is coming, and he's got backup."
Distracted, Jeff looked up to see Cindy rushing to the upper railing beside his bodyguard. He winced at the thought of embroiling her in another gang confrontation, but she pointed down toward the landing behind him.
"Look out!"
Jeff spun about, already certain Curly was attacking. A blur of silver shot toward Mick's gut, a blur the Hurricane leader could not deflect, only intercept. Mick staggered back unscathed, but Jeff yanked his hand back with a cry of pain, twisting away with the switchblade knife stuck in the palm of his left hand. Curly scanned the floor in astonishment for his missing weapon, but Craig alertly stepped forward and shoved Jeff backward down the lower staircase. He heard Cindy's frantic scream resounding throughout the stairwell as he turned to break his fall. Instead, his head slammed against the fourth step down, and he rolled into a crumpled heap at the bottom of the lower staircase. The Hurricanes rushed forward to aid their leader, only to be met squarely by the advancing tornadoes. Still holding his knife, yet suddenly jostled to the back of the group, Mick rushed to the railing to glimpse his fallen friend before looking up in despair to Train and Cindy. The overhead stairwell doors burst open, and the graying student resource officer barreled into the stairwell, flanked by three other police officers, wielding batons and shouting orders to submit. Cindy and Train fell back against the railing as Mick snapped his blade away and retreated to a row of exit doors lining the mid-level platform. He kicked open the closest door to reveal a rainy courtyard outside.
"Hurricanes, break!"
he shouted before dashing out the open doorway. Axel and Denny sprinted out into the courtyard after him. Bumbles finally broke free from the clutches of the tornadoes to slip outside, trailing his friends by a dozen steps as they ran off through the rain. Inside the stairwell, Crazy Legs backed against the wall as the tornadoes stampeded out into the courtyard. Train and Cindy rushed downstairs behind the policeman as they hit the landing and filed outside in pursuit. Train grabbed the last officer by the arm before he left the building.
"Jeff's hurt. Help him."
The startled officer reached for his club before spotting Jeff's crumpled body at the bottom of the staircase.
"Sergeant Hurst,"
he called out.
"Victim down."
The trailing policeman stopped in the courtyard and returned to the stairwell doors.
"Where?"
"This way."
Crazy Legs slipped past the officer to the bottom of the lower staircase, where Jeff sat propped up against the basement wall. He moaned softly with his legs stretched out and his eyelids fluttering, his hand cradled against his shirt and the switchblade knife lying on the floor beside him. Blood streamed down his face from a welt on his forehead, and he seemed oblivious to those gathering around him. Train knelt beside him.
"Jeff, are you all right?"
Sergeant Hurst scratched his fuzzy gray crew cut before turning to Cindy.
"That's Jeff Hollister, but you're..."
"Cindy Wellis."
Hurst folded his arms across his chest.
"Why are you running around with this ilk?"
She stood up.
"I'm not running around with anyone. Jeff tried to break up a fight and he got hurt. Do your job and take care of him."
"Do my job,"
the sergeant muttered in disgust. He stared down at Jeff and stewed for a few seconds before clicking his caller transmitter.
"Dispatch, this is Hurst. I need an ambulance at Salisbury High, stairwell D, for a 1053.
"Copy,"
his radio crackled in reply.
"Ambulance to Salisbury High, stairwell D."
Hurst eyed Cindy skeptically before pointing his baton at Crazy Legs and Train.
"We'll take care of him. We're going to take care of all you delinquents. As soon as we catch your friend, somebody's going down to the station. You just better hope you're not involved."
Crazy Legs shuffled closer to Train as the sergeant knelt down to attend to Jeff.
"Fine with me, but I sure hope Mick has his running shoes on."
Proper footwear was the least of Mick's concerns as he led his friends off school grounds through the steady rain. He had stretched the Hurricanes' lead to 50 yards over the tornadoes and the two policemen on their trail, enough to see Willow Street, the western edge of their home turf, looming ahead.
"Keep off the streets. More cops will be on the way."
They crossed Willow Street at its intersection with Spruce Lane and quickly veered into the backyard of the first property on their left. Slipping through a hedgerow into the next yard, Mick stumbled over a protruding root and fell to his knees in the muddy soil. He quickly scrambled to his feet, but not before yielding his narrow lead to his friends. Denny pulled him along by the arm.
"Where to?"
"Jeff's garage,"
Mick panted.
"But keep quiet. His mother's probably asleep."
"I saw the tornadoes splitting up,"
Axel said.
"What do you think they're up to?"
"Who cares? As long as they're behind us,"
Denny said. They entered a third yard, slipping beneath an elevated deck of a raised ranch with a Hollister residence set beyond a row of evergreen bushes. Axel glanced over his shoulder.
"Where's Bumbles?"
Denny looked about.
"He was right behind me. He must have fallen down."
"Or the tornadoes got him,"
Axel said. Mick waved them on.
"No time to go back. Cops are coming. Keep moving.
They passed through the evergreen bushes and ran through the Hollister's backyard to the far end of the house. Denny darted around the corner and stopped at the first basement window, placing his hands flat against the glass and silently sliding it open for his friends. Axel passed through the window first, followed by Denny and lastly Mick, who dropped quietly to the garage floor before sliding the window shut again. They sat on the floor in front of Jeff's idle Camaro, saying nothing and listening intently. Only after several minutes did anyone dare to speak.
"We must have lost them,"
Denny said.
"It makes no sense. Everyone was right behind us, and now they're gone."
"The cops must have gone after Craig,"
Axel said.
"Good,"
Denny said.
"I hope they bust every one of the tornadoes after what they did to Jeff. Talk about cheap shots."
Mick rose to his feet.
"Curly thinks he can pull a knife on whoever he wants. I'm going to take care of him personally."
He took out a cigarette and stuck it between his lips as he wandered toward the garage door. Fumbling in his pocket for a lighter, he peered out a high window to scan the front lawn.
"Holy shit!"
he exclaimed as the cigarette tumbled from his mouth. He unlatched the garage door and rolled it open, completely disregarding his own directive of silence as he ran into the driveway.
"Come on!"
His friends scrambled to their feet and hurried out of the garage, with Axel quickly rolling the door shut on his way out. At the far edge of the front yard, beside the border row of hedges, Bumble stood alone beside two policemen, one white and the other black, both lying motionless at his feet. Mick rushed up to his lanky friend.
"Bumbles, what did you do?"
Bumbles threw his hands up in despair.
"It wasn't me. It was the tornadoes."
Mick knelt down and rolled the trim black patrolman onto his back, revealing the name Boyd on his name tag. He bent an ear to the man's lips.
"This guy's out cold."
Denny pointed down at the second officer, sporting a bleeding cut along the graying hairline of a fair scalp.
"It's the SRO."
Axel ran up.
"Oh shit, what the hell happened?"
"The tornadoes ambushed them,"
Bumbles explained quickly.
"Curly, JJ, Happy Jack, and Zach, they looked pretty slick doing it too."
"Yeah, real slick, 4-on-2.
Mick bent beside the school resource officer and pressed a finger against his neck.
"They're alive. Let's split before they wake up."
"Look,"
Denny cried out.
"Their guns are gone. So are their billy clubs."
"Seriously?"
Axel said.
"Tornadoes got guns now?"
Mick frowned.
"Looks that way. Come on, let's go."
Bumbles motioned to the unconscious policeman.
"We can't just leave these guys like this, can we?"
"They'll live. We better go before more of them show up."
"But why? We didn't do this. The tornadoes did."
Mick turned to face him.
"Did you see where you're standing? You think the cops care about who's a tornado and who's a hurricane? All they're gonna know is that two of their men got their asses kicked in Jeff Hollister's front yard. We're gonna catch the heat for this, not Craig."
Bumble shook his head.
"We'll be better off in the long run if we tell the truth."
Mick patted him on the shoulder.
"Okay, hero. You stay here and tell the truth. We'll take up a collection for your bail. Me? I'm lying low. I ain't going anywhere that the tornadoes can take pot shots at me. That includes school."
"What about the fight?"
Axel asked.
"Are we gonna have to cancel it now?"
"Not necessarily."
Mick smiled wryly as he led them off through the raindrops.
"The tornadoes just raised the stakes. The question is, do we fold or call their bet?"